Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello!
Hello, people of Earth!
People of Earth, welcome to the Hucklebug! Welcome, Earthlings. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. This is episode 734 of the Hucklebug podcast that is hosted by Bet and Steny. And that's us.
Yes.
Here we are.
7 and 3 and 4. Well, 3 and 4 is 7.
7 minus 3 is 4.
That's kind of backwards, but it works.
7 minus 3 is 4.
Yeah.
That works. That does work.
Okay. So it's going to be special, people. Oh, my God. Get a cold drink.
No, don't get your hopes up. It's going to be mediocre. It's going to be... We like to keep expectations low. Keep the expectations low here on the Hucklebug. Don't expect too much and you won't be disappointed.
Suck, people.
It's going to be terrible. Turn it off now. No, it won't be that bad. Well, welcome, everybody, to the Hucklebug. We do have a rip that we'll do just briefly. I don't know how many of our Hucklebug listeners even know who this gentleman is, although I know Saskita certainly does, and I know Marla does. Doug, maybe. And Mish knows, but Mish doesn't really listen to the show anymore. William Finn passed away. He's a composer and lyricist who wrote a couple of my all-time favorite musicals, falsettos being the primary one. But he also wrote a play I absolutely adore that nobody else seems to like with me called A New Brain. And he also wrote the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which our friend Marla directed at the Bellingham Theater Guild. A wonderfully talented writer and composer. He passed away, I think, 73 was his age, just this last week. Young to die.
Oh, yes.
Especially having lived through, you know, brain surgery in his younger years.
Right.
So.
A cause?
Cancer, I thought I saw.
Damn fucking
Hang on,
cancer.
Let me check again. Lung disease.
Oh.
Yes. Sad. So we just, I just was sad about it and wanted to memorialize the occasion with a rest in peace. Thank you, Mr. William Finn, for all of the wonderful things that you have brought to me.
Yes,
Ben has some things to say, too.
I had no idea who he was.
Right.
But when Stens was telling me, Falsettos is a play that I knew about, but had never had no truck with, you know, totally.
Right. You hadn't seen it or listened to it.
And thank you, Insomnia. And this was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was
I
a
still
while
had
back.
Insomnia. I was up at like 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. and turned on the TV because I couldn't sleep. And there on PBS, I found myself watching this play. Was probably great performances on
yeah,
PBS.
I would think. Yeah.
And it just hit me from the beginning. I was hooked.
Yeah.
And I finally found out that it was falsettos. Fell totally in love, but falling totally in love with the play, the lead in it was Reynolds?
Maybe. I don't know. That was a different cast than I had seen.
Okay. And I fell in love with him just as much as the play. Mm. And to this day, there is nothing I have seen him in that he didn't make better. Mm. So I always equate him with falsettos.
Gotcha.
And so when you said falsettos, I said, oh, I'm all over this.
Yeah. I knew you, I knew you had seen, I remembered that when you saw it, we talked about it here.
Oh,
on
it's beautiful.
And I remember just being overjoyed that you happened to, stumble across.
Right. In
falsettos.
So many ways. Is it beautiful? Oh,
it's wonderful.
And so I'm sorry, I didn't know more of your stuff, but sir, but.
Well, there's cast albums out there you can listen to. He's a really brilliant lyricist, I think. He's just so clever with his word combinations and stuff. I just think he's wonderful. And I'm sad that we'll never have another new William Finn musical ever to talk about. But apparently, I was telling Bette just before we started, because I was like looking through his credits, he adapted Little Miss Sunshine for the stage, a stage musical, which never made it to Broadway, but did a little time off Broadway. So I might, look that up and see if I can find a cash recording of it. Because if it's good and it's producible, maybe that's something I wouldn't mind doing at the Theater Guild someday. Of course, you need kids. You need at least one kid. You need probably a few kids, what with the whole beauty pageant and whatnot. So,
tricky. Wouldn't that be fun for the makeup crew at the
My God, it's just They do tell you, never work with kids or animals. So I don't know. But anyway, do rest in peace, William Finn.
Yes, sir.
Bless you, and thank you so much for the wonderful music you've given us. Let's do some shout-outs.
Roar!
We have no shout-outs on Hucklebug.com because Tina is still recovering from the hen party in Poland. But we have a few shout-outs on our Facebook page. Starting under the episode, we have a shout out for Kelly with an I.
And she says, I can't believe how many times the past few days I've caught myself singing out loud, if I were a bird. What an earworm. But anyway, she says, I hope I don't get myself in trouble from those around me.
Yeah, be careful. I wouldn't sing it too loud.
We're all in danger, people.
They're all listening. Our second shout out is for Siskita. Sorry, Bet. I heard you coughing back there. I could have waited. My bad.
You know, I've folks, very quickly. Yeah. Last weekend when we recorded, it was 79 degrees.
Yeah.
Tuesday of this week, it went to 28.
God.
My whole body has turned to a heaving mass of sinus trouble and sore throats.
Poor darling. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm all right. I'm hopping.
Weirdly, your voice sounds a little better this week. It's a little less scratchy.
It seems to be less scratchy.
Yeah. I had a walk with Marla today, and she's like, is Ben okay? I was like, I think so. Why? She goes, her voice is awful. I'm like, oh, yeah, I mean, her voice has been a bit scratchy for a bit. Yeah.
It comes and goes.
It does. It comes and goes. It sounds good today. Our second shout out this week is for Siskita.
We need you so.
There we go. See, I pulled it all back around. Siskita says, fun fact about Flo, the movie that I saw last week. They recorded new audio for all the animal sounds. I mean, you can tell it's a real cat going meow. But the capybara is a very quiet animal, so they recorded a baby camel for the capybara's sounds. That is a fun fact, Siskita. Thank you for that.
That's a fun fact. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I love fun facts. I hate when people say, here's a fun fact, and the fact turns out not to be that fun. But this was an actual, genuine fun fact. So thank you for that. I do. And then people are like, fun fact, and then they say something stupid. And I'm like, no, that might be a fact, but it isn't fun. All right, our final shout-out this week is under our missive on Facebook, and it's for Doug.
We are the Doug.
We are the Starcher. Well, you can take Doug's because you're next in the order, even though he's talking about it.
He says, thanks for coming to our show last night, Stenny.
You're welcome.
After my third radio show, I've been having so much fun.
Yeah.
Doug, if there's anything you deserve, it's to have so much fun.
Agreed.
Because you make other people have so much fun.
It's true.
With Marla being such a great role model, yes, Yeah. I'm thinking about dipping my toe into a real memorized acting gig. Wouldn't that be fun? Well,
Doug hasn't been on stage in a really long time.
He makes like an entrance stage left and everybody claps because it's Doug.
It'd be like Fonzie. It's like Fonzie coming on.
No, woo! It's like, remember on the Carol Burnett show when they would do like plays and Harvey would come in and everybody would clap.
There'd be applause.
He'd stop and he would bow.
Yeah, he'd stop. And
that could be done.
Acknowledged, yeah. I could see that. I could see that. Thank you, Dougie, for your comment. And thank you, everybody, for your shout-outs.
Yay!
We appreciate all of you. And we appreciate your comments and stuff. Yay! There'll be a little bit more about Doug later. We begin with binge watches. This week, neither of us had a movie, but we both have binge watches.
Yes.
And well, and I start, right?
You start.
So my binge watch is on Netflix, and it's called No Good Deed. Have you heard of it, Bet?
I have heard of it. I've just seen it on my feed.
Okay, you have at least seen it on your feed.
Nothing about it.
Okay, so you have at least seen it on your feed. I hadn't even seen it on my feed. I don't know how I happened to stumble across it. But I was looking. It was exactly like the length I was looking for. It's a limited series. It's 8 episodes, and each episode is about a half hour. I found a couple of other shows that were limited series, 8 episodes, and each episode was an hour. I'm like, well, I'm not going to be able to sit through 8 hours of something today. You know, I could do maybe an hour or two. So I started watching it on Thursday night, and my plan was I'm just going to watch like 2 episodes, and then I'll pick the rest of them up Friday, like when I'm not working, when I'm, you know, when I'm working but not working, and after. But it was so good that I sat through the first 4 on Thursday night and then finished it up last night. And so not a true binge watch, but I split it up into 2 nights.
Yes.
The cast is a veritable cornucopia of TV stars from the 90s. We have Lisa Kudrow, Ray Romano, who was really good, actually. It surprised the hell out of me. He was great.
I loved him in that other thing. Oh, what was the thing with Adam Arkin?
Oh, I don't know. I've never seen him in anything except Stand Up and Everybody Loves Raymond, which I hate.
But when I mentioned that I liked this show and I liked Ray Romano in it, you kind of, you know.
I probably did because I hadn't seen him do anything good.
But see, he does other things.
He does, and he's good. You were right and I was wrong, Bet. Linda Cardellini is also in it. We love her, of course. Lindsay Weir from Freaks and Geeks. Dennis Leary is also in it. Luke Wilson, the good Wilson, in my opinion. And the late Linda Lavin also has a lovely small role as the nosy neighbor. This is a great show. It had very much a vibe. The vibe felt very much like Murders in the Building in that... you know, you get everybody's got a secret, first of all. Everybody's got a secret. Everybody's got a dark secret that they're hiding from one another. It starts out, there's a couple that are selling their house in the trendy Las Vegas neighborhood of Los Angeles. And that's Lisa Kudrow and Ray Romano. They're selling their house. The house contains a lot of memories for them, of course. Some of them are quite dark memories. And they just want to move on. But we get to know them, and we also get to know the different buyers. There's 3 or 4 different couples who are looking at the house. But all the couples, they've all got big, deep, dark secrets from one another as well. And everything's revealed in little dribs and drabs throughout the series, similar to on Only Murders in the Building. And there's some mystery to it, and it's a bit of a mystery thriller with some comedy as well. I maybe primarily comedy. It's just really good, and you know it's episode three ended with like a big twist or reveal, and that made me go oh, so compelled me to watch episode 4. And then when episode 4 ended, I went, oh, wow. and so that just kind of had me keep going. If I have any criticism of it, it's that I think in the end, everything wraps up a little too nicely, a little too easily. Ooh. That's maybe my only, that's the only downfall, but the show is really good and I recommend it. It's fun and I was surprised that I had not ever heard of it.
Wow.
It's got an 80% or something on Rotten Tomatoes, which is, I think, a pretty high score. What's your binge watch?
Well, I have something I need to tell you about a binge watch.
Yes, that's right, because you didn't finish it, right?
Which, folks, I tried a binge watch. And
sometimes you can't. I get
and,
it.
And I've tried it twice. When you try a binge watch twice and it doesn't take, maybe it's
over. It's
just not for you.
Right.
But I don't know why it's not for me.
Sometimes it just ain't.
I have been reading since it started, like last month. This Apple Plus show called The Studio.
Ah, Marla wants me to watch that.
And people are just raving over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Marla is very...
The star is Seth Rogen.
Right.
Who plays a guy who's worked for a movie studio for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the head of the studio gets fired. And he thinks he could be perfect as the new head of the studio.
Yeah.
And he gets appointed. Mm. And he wants to take it in his direction, you
right.
know, which is a different direction from what studios are doing nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And this show was tailored to me.
Right.
I mean, it's got snappy, peppy dialogue.
Uh-huh.
It's got a storyline that just cracks me up.
Yeah.
About, and I'll say this, it's not a spoiler, because
okay,
it's the
be.
First episode.
Okay.
But, you know, he wants to make erudite, interesting movies.
Right.
But he's tasked with, after Barbie, they're wanting to make brand movies.
Uh-huh.
So he's tasked with making a movie about the Kool-Aid Man and his family. And a movie about...
And his family?
And his family. His family gets kidnapped. and random famous, I mean, like Scorsese,
right.
famous people
sure.
show up as themselves, you know, wanting... But there's one thing, like I said, I've tried. I've gotten through the first episode twice.
Okay.
And this half of the second episode once, and I just had to quit. Because here's the thing about it.
Okay.
It goes so fast.
There
is never a chance for you to breathe.
Okay.
I mean, it never stops. It's manic.
Okay.
I don't know if the people who wrote it are on cocaine. I don't
Could
know.
Be. Could very well
but
be.
But it never...
Cocaine's coming, making a big comeback, as I understand it.
It never lets up. And so I would find myself after watching just having to put it on pause, go back four or five scenes, and start over again.
Oh, okay.
Because it just goes so fast, you
goes
miss
too fast.
Everything.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that I've given up on it completely.
Right.
But it's just so hard to watch.
Yeah, that's all right.
So I just...
Like I said, not everything's
like
for
I said,
everybody.
I've tried twice.
Yeah.
And right now, I just have to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, that's how I feel about Apocalypse Now. Although I've tried a lot more than twice with Apocalypse Now, to be fair.
Yeah.
I've tried to sit through Apocalypse Now at least four times.
And I will say, and this cannot be considered a binge watch, because it's a, you know, they put out one episode a week, so you can't
okay.
watch it all. But I did start on Apple, John Hamm's show, Your Friends and Neighbors.
Oh,
and the first two episodes were up. So I did watch them this morning. Now, there's a show I think I can
could get into that one.
Very, very interesting.
I'm quite excited because Apple TV Plus has a show coming, I think in May, called Murderbot, which is based on the series of books by Martha Wells. And I fucking love those books. And
oh.
so I'm totally stoked for Murderbot. I hope the TV show is half as good as the books. I'm not sure it would be your thing, Bette, because it's very sci-fi, and I know you're not really a sci-fi person, but it is also very funny, so you might enjoy it. It's really hard to say. I think we'll just see in May.
But sorry, the studio. I wanted to love you, and like I said, maybe later, but I've given up for now.
That's fair enough. I'm going to be giving it a try myself because Marla speaks very highly of it. And the last time I saw her, which was a few weeks ago, she said, I really recommend, or she might have texted me and said, you have to watch The Studio. And then today when we were out for our walk, she said, so have you watched The Studio yet? And I said, no. She's like, why not?
Oh, no.
So I did tell her that I saw No Good Deed.
Marla, don't give up on me yet.
Well, she recommended it strongly to me. She didn't recommend it strongly to you. So who knows? But anyway, I'll probably be trying that one out myself. So we'll probably hear more about The Studio next week, you guys. Meanwhile, though, I have a video of the week.
Oh, yeah.
I was quite excited for this because I had been seeing, earlier in the week, I'd been seeing things, posts on Facebook saying coming Friday. So I was excited for it. OK Go has just released a new album and they have just dropped, Bette's favorite expression, they have just dropped their first single, which is Love. And they have a new video. I think this is their first new music video in a few years.
Because these
videos take years to make, I would imagine.
Of course, because they are the kings of video.
Honestly, they set the standards so high. They set it impossibly high for others. This one's all done with mirrors. It's really cool. The song's called Love, and my video of the week is the music video for Love. By the way, the song's pretty damn good also.
This is
something that tends to get lost a lot of the time in OK Go's videos, is that their music's also really good.
It swells to an ending. I love that.
And it's a very positive message as well, I think. It's about love. So...
But do we need to even tell people, is there anybody who doesn't know that the thing about OK Go is they do all of their videos in one take.
One take. And
there's no editing.
The first
one. They put the camera on.
Right.
And however many times it takes to get it in one take.
But there are always these very big, complicated.
Yes.
Things. The first one was a big Rube Goldberg machine. Well, it was the first one that we saw anyway.
Well,
to be honest, they've never topped that one.
The first one is on the treadmills.
Oh, the treadmills. Okay. Well, the first one I saw was the Rube Goldberg machine. Yeah, the Rube Goldberg one, which I don't remember which video it is. There's also one, one with a marching band.
This Must Pass. Something about this.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This Too Shall Pass.
But the one with the dogs.
The one with the dogs.
And when you read the story about them making the one with the dogs,
it took months and months, but they're all sweet rescue doggies. They had to train them all. They did the one in the weightless aircraft.
Yes.
That was really cool. Yes. They did the one with all the paint that splattered all over the place.
Yes.
That one's really good. I don't remember any of the songs that go with it. I just like the one with. But I do. I also sometimes enjoy just listening to OK Go and not watching their videos.
I have to tell you. First of all, the very first thing, when you know that there's no editing,
right?
And it comes at the very beginning when the guy who's singing lays down and he pulls his shirt and his shirts change.
Yes,
I don't know how they did that.
I still don't know how.
He put on like six shirts and none of them had backs. So he was just pulling them off.
Well, that's possible because at the end they put the mirror suit on him.
They
tack it together.
All of those machines that are rotating and holding the robots. I have got to link this video to Taylor.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Mechanical Engineer.
Yeah.
And say, how in the hell did they do that? And can you do it?
And, you know, and they move in perfect sync.
Because that's what he does for a living.
Right. Right. Well, then maybe he will be able to, maybe he'll be able to.
Yeah.
But it's a great video.
People. Oh, we will leave, it's lovely.
We will leave a link in our comments on the Facebook page. Do check it out. Bet, what do you have? You have a watch, but not
like
a...
Well, I have something called a watch.
A watch, not like a Rolex watch.
Not a binge watch or anything.
Okay.
But last week, and this really doesn't have a lot to do with the watch, but I'll talk about it. Last week, PBS showed a special celebrating the 50th anniversary of Austin City Limits.
Right.
Which was 2 hours, which was ultimately disappointing because it should have been either 4 hours, come and go as you please.
Yeah.
Or two-hour shows. Ah. One, a retrospective with clips of the old show. And the other,
like a
live
concert.
Performances.
Right.
To, you know. But they tried to cram it all into 2 hours. And, you know, I was happy that I did get to see an old clip of my buddy Towns doing the best song ever written, Poncho and Lefty. I got to see my sweet late Nancy Griffith sing. So the clips were great. Even there was no John Prine or Steve Goodman, who were stalwarts in the early days. But going to the live performances, I started the show in my living room, just watching.
Yeah.
And I ended the show here at the Dinette.
Yeah.
Watching here on the computer, Googling what's wrong with Lyle Lovett. Because he was one of the live performers. He sang a song with Sean Colvin.
And
then she left and he sang a song, one of the most beautiful written songs ever, called The 12th of June, which was written, I had no idea Lyle Lovett had kids. But he has twins who were born on the 12th of June. So he sang this.
Hey, that's my mom's birthday.
Really?
Yep.
They were born when he was 59 years old.
My goodness.
Told,
all right, so not
he
with
told
the
story.
Okay.
But what's wrong with Lyle Lovett? Well, when he first showed up, and I guess he was there to sing because he is a member of the Austin City Limits Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So he, I think he knew he had to be there. But I looked at him and I thought, man, Lyle doesn't look very good. And I mean, I haven't seen him in a while and we all age and
his
age. But he just didn't look like Lyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he started singing, I just cannot tell you how it upset me.
Yeah.
His voice, it was not Lyle. He would start to sing and he would go you know, and I thought I would die. I honestly thought I would die because, you know, as much as I love Lyle and I love his wonderful personality, but I love his music and I love his lyrics. But I love his voice, too. I love his voice. And it was just...
Not right.
Not right.
Yeah.
And so I started... And my Google was, what is wrong with Lyle Lovett?
What's wrong with Lyle Lovett?
And so things came up. I'm not the only one.
Well, I mean, the second you asked the question, I immediately picked up my phone and started Googling it. Bet I haven't been listening to you at all because I've been looking
it up.
And there's
actually... I know you love Reddit. There's actually a huge Reddit, apparently, article, you know, with people. But many people have been talking about Lyle and his voice. And it says that he may have a condition like spastic dysphonia.
Mm. It seems like there's a lot of speculation, but nothing
official.
One thing that I saw says that he might have Louis's body dementia, which is what Robin Williams had. I hope he doesn't have that. I hope nobody ever has
that. Well, this is not the list that I saw.
Are you back at Reddit? That's what happens on Reddit.
When I just Googled it.
Oh.
But one of the things, when they were listing what people, they had said,
there we go. We're out of time.
My rooster went off.
Your rooster went off too. All right. My cuckoo clock went off.
It was mentioned that Lyle has COPD.
That was a possibility, yeah.
And, you know, that alone, as a singer...
Not going to be good for your throat.
Right. But I had no idea. But they said he makes no bones because he tries to raise awareness about it. But Lyle, we love you.
We love you, Lyle. Take care of yourself.
And boy, did it hurt my heart to see him like that.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough when one of your musical heroes has difficulty performing. I don't like it. We'll get better soon, Lyle.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. If you have to retire from performing, it's all right. We still love you. We'll still think fondly of you.
Yeah, but to think that there may not be another Lyle record, my God.
Well, he did just, apparently that June 12th one just came out in 2022. So that's a pretty recent one, and I haven't heard
isn't
it.
Isn't that the one that has...
that's new to me.
Pants is overrated. I love that song.
I don't know. I haven't heard it. I don't know. You know what? I haven't had a new Lyle Lovett album in a really long time. Well, so I'm sure he's got lots of stuff for me to discover.
I do tend to listen to me some old Lyle.
Still stuck on Road to Ensenada and Joshua Judge's Ruth and the large band era.
The large band stuff. Mm,
yeah. All right. Let's do some fuck offs and some new rules.
Okay.
And we'll get the heck out of here. Donald Trump, you can fuck off.
Fuck off.
You. Not my president. Who rules, Bet?
Oh, well, I have a new rule. I know we're out of time. I'll try to keep it short. But I have a big, fat, effing you rule.
All right.
To my cuz, Terry. Oh,
Terry.
Happy
birthday, Terry.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Wasn't her birthday last week?
It was in June.
Oh, sorry. No, it's not. Never mind. Never mind then. Well, happy birthday anyway. I could have sworn her birthday was last week. I don't know why I thought that. I thought I saw it on Facebook or something. My bad.
She called me last weekend wanting to have lunch. She didn't have a lot of time, but she said, could we go out to lunch? And I would, but, you know, we were changing the time of the Hucklebug, and I just couldn't deal anyway with the other stuff. And so I had to say no, and she kind of admonished me about getting myself back into the game. Which, you know, getting your butt kicked by Terry is like having a tap on the shoulder saying, I love you.
That's nice.
Yes.
That's a good way.
But she invited me to her the next night, Sunday night, at 7 o'clock, to her live paint project.
Oh, yay.
And she said, you don't have to bring your paints, but if you want to, that would be great.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen one of her things.
Uh-huh.
And so Sunday night, after Recipe Sunday, I went out, hooked up.
Yeah.
And folks, my cousin, I could not tell you the pride that I have in her.
Mm.
She is doing exactly what she was meant to do.
Yay. Good for her.
I hooked up, and there she was in her living room, and she had her canvas, and she had told people, you know, bring all your paints. These are the colors I'm going to use. You don't have to use them. That's her thing. You do what you want to do.
Just like Bob Ross.
Nothing wrong.
That's
exactly.
Right. It's your world.
And, you know, people would come in and, you know, show up on her feed. She was talking, laughing, painting. She is just wonderful. And I had, it was about a little over an hour.
Uh-huh.
And I had so much fun just watching her. And the next time one happens, as crowded as this desk is, I might try to take some paints out.
Yeah.
And join her along. She is an inspiration to anybody who wants to try to do art. Terry, you're the best.
Yay.
You just rule, rule, rule.
You rule. You rule with an iron fist.
Yes.
Hooray. My you rule this week, I'm going to give my you rule to Doug Starcher, our dear friend.
Woo!
Doug.
You are the Doug.
King of the you rules. And the Midnight Mystery Players, because I went to see, as Doug alluded in his comment.
Yes.
They yesterday, the radio play they put on was Arsenic and Old Lace. A Woo! Show everybody pretty much knows, I think. Pretty much everybody knows Arsenic and Old Lace. Doug played.
Wait.
What?
At Graham High School.
Uh-huh.
Every year to raise funds for the prom.
Yeah.
The junior class does the junior class play.
Uh-huh.
When my sister was a junior, mm-hmm. Arsenic and Old Lace was their play. And she was, I don't know which one, she was one of the two sisters.
One of the sisters, yeah. And yes. I literally just saw it last night, and I don't know which one's which.
I'd never even heard of it at that point.
Really?
So that was
young.
Oh, I was young, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I love Arsenic and Old Lace.
Oh, it's an old chestnut and a big favorite. Doug played Officer Brophy, the cop who's trying to get Mortimer to read his script.
Yes.
my dear friend Kenny played Jonathan, the Boris Karloff part. And Jeff Stiglitz, friend of the show, Jeff Stiglitz,
yes.
was Dr. Einstein, the Peter Lorre role. And then my friend Kathy was one of the sisters. And then Miss Lynn, Doug's wife, Miss Lynn was the other sister.
Oh, and nice.
Was there anybody else? Sally Lubitich and George Koss did the Foley sound. And that was hilarious and lots of fun to watch.
But now, is this one of those where they just have the scripts and they're
yep.
at my... See,
they're just reading it.
I've seen things like that, like on YouTube. I love those.
It's so much fun. And what's great about it, you know, for the actors, I mean, I think
it's
the reason.
It's all voice.
Voice. And I think the reason my friend Ken started doing it is he no longer trusts his memory. So he can't really act on stage anymore because he does not believe he can memorize lines anymore, which, you know, is neither here nor there. I think it's a mental block, but whatever. But this is a way for him to continue performing. So that was, you know, for him, it was a godsend to find a place where he could still act. But, you know, he's got the script right in front of him, so he doesn't have to memorize any lines. And that was why it appealed to Doug also. He's like, you know, I can read, you know. So there's, you know, the cast tends to be folks that are a little bit older. But, you know, it's fine because they got a script in front of them, so they don't have to worry about forgetting lines and stuff. But it was a lovely evening. And Doug, it was so much fun. I don't know if it was recorded. Doug, was it recorded? Because Bette would probably like to be able to hear it if it was recorded. And then, you know, we can make the recording available to all of our Hucklebug listeners if it's online someplace. But that's my you rule. And gang, that's our show this week. I hope that you have enjoyed it. We've sure enjoyed recording it.
Little pause.
Okay.
We did have the topic. But we're out of time. What a save.
Oh, yeah.
For next time.
Forgot. I keep forgetting about the topic. You know what? Hang on. I'm going to put it in my notes here for next week. We'll do it next week.
I was going to say, we can do it next week.
Yeah. Let's do it next week, even if we're running a little long.
Because
we'll
I do want to keep
week.
It. I really like
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's because it wasn't written down. Because it wasn't written down, I don't remember that we're doing it. But now
I have something almost to say about every seat. So okay. We'll have a really short show.
All right. There's a Star Trek version of that also that, you know, maybe we'll just.
I saw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mike posted it.
Yeah.
So we did have a topic, but A, I forgot about it. And B, we're out of time.
It
so
can hold.
We'll do it. We'll do it next week. Yeah.
We'll
not going to go bad.
We'll stick it in the fridge until
yeah,
next week.
It's not going to go bad. It's not going to go bad. So anyway, so yeah, it's more like a canned good. We don't have to
yeah.
it in the just put it back up in the pantry.
It's a non-perishable.
It's a non-perishable, exactly. So that's our show, and we thank you all for listening.
Thank you so much.
I'll be back next week for Easter, for our Easter show, episode 735, which is going to be so special. I have no idea what it's going to be.
Easter bonnet.
Yeah. With all the roses on it, or whatever it says. I don't know. I don't know the words. Anyways, tune in next week for that. And also tune in next week when you'll hear Bet say,
"We're a couple of swells."
Oh, there you go.
"We stay at the finest hotels."
Nice. There you go, Kelly. A new earworm for you. All right, gang. Thanks for listening, and we will be back next week. Until then, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Goodbye, everybody. Bye-bye.
We love you. Mwah.
That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
Okay, I'm back. I found Lincoln. Are you there?
Yeah, where?
Actually, oh no, there's no Bet. Oh, he's in the living room.
I thought that was a dot, dot, dot.
No, I think I was expecting you to say something. I don't know why I was. It wasn't a complete thought, was it? You're right.